Thank you, girls. I had a little proud Papa moment there. Proud Daddy. I think Papa had a proud Papa moment, too. In case you didn't notice, I have props. And for the sake of my own cleanliness, gloves. Believe it or not, it's not a magic trick. It is the most basic and simple thing in the world. Flour, just a little bit of salt. Some pre-measured water. This, as it is, are the basic ingredients for unleavened bread. Matzah. Now, as most of you who are bakers also like, there's oil, which we will add to it. This has been made just like this for thousands of years. It was made in ancient times, before the flood, and long after. It was made when Abraham served bread to the Lord. It was made by the children of Israel. And it is how we make it today. So kids, what's this?
Dough.
Dough. That's right. What kind of dough is it?
Unleavened.
Unleavened. That's right. It's a new lump. That which can be formed and made into a loaf. But it's not going to rise. It'll stay the same size. And if we roll it out, it'll be completely flat. However, perfect. It can give energy, it can sustain life, and it's fresh. It's new. Brethren, spiritually speaking, this is who we are. This is who you are. There's a reason that we have made this and we have eaten it and consumed it all this week. There's lessons to be learned. And there's blessings in it. There is an incredible gift. Brethren, this is interesting. As I was studying this week and looking at the unleavened bread and the lessons that we learned from it, and the gift and the feast that it is, I looked at some of the scriptures of how the children of Israel came out of Egypt and what they were doing during the plague. And I wonder if this is not the type of bread that they were also eating during the affliction of Egypt. And we read Exodus 8 speaks of what came after the first plague, after the blood or the water was turned to blood by Moses. In Exodus 8 and verse 3, it says, as God tells them to go before Pharaoh and tell them that this is what's going to happen. And he says, so the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house. There's going to be so many, they will come into your bedroom. They'll be on your bed, and they'll be in the houses of your servants, on your people, even into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls. If you opened up your bowl in which you kept your bread, in which you kept your dough, which you would start your daily bread with, and you saw frogs lying in it, you'd pitch that out. You wouldn't even have to be commanded to. It makes me wonder if the bread which they were sustaining themselves on wasn't exactly this bread throughout the remainder of their time going through those plagues. Because after the frogs came in, what else came in that was in the air? There were lice. There were swarms of bugs and flies. All things that would have permeated their very life. I wonder if they weren't eating this humble bread during the time of that affliction while they were still in Egypt. However, when they left Egypt, they left with a high hand. Let's turn to Exodus 33. By the time Egypt was ready for Israel to be let go, they didn't just want them to leave eventually. They wanted them to leave now. They couldn't get them out fast enough. They were relieved to see them going. They were so relieved, they piled them with goods and materials. Exodus 12 and verse 33, and the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. And they said, we shall all be dead. If they don't leave now, we're all going to die. And so the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. So this bread that I made just like this, it hasn't had time to become leavened yet. It's simple, it's basic and easy. And this is what they did. They grabbed their bowls and placed them on their shoulders and they took off. And now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses. And they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. This is not just like leaving bondage, but this is like being given the golden ticket. You won the lottery too. And then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot besides children. And a mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds and a great deal of livestock, all the wealth of their animals. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened. because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. That's the time that they were there, though not always in bondage. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, 430 years after God made a covenant with their forefather Abraham, that he would bring them out. It came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is the evening which begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It is the night to be much observed, the night to be much remembered. This is the night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. This humble bread, simple and basic, nothing refined or added to it, is a reminder of God's victory. It is a reminder to us of our salvation. It reminds us that we too, just like the children of Israel, have been brought out of bondage, out of slavery to sin. And that includes our own carnality, that which we corrupt. You know, many of you who bake know that what's the first rule to baking and cooking? Wash your hands. Wash. Or just what's on you can corrupt what you're preparing. This food which you're seeking to give you sustenance and life. Brethren, we're given this example. We're given a humble, simple bread that represents our freedom. And that we are indeed brought into a new family. And we are journeying towards a new kingdom, a new land. Ezekiel 36 and verse 24. God reminds the children of Israel of what he has done for them and what he will do. Because again, what has happened before, God will do again. Just as there was the first covenant, the first marriage covenant, there is a second marriage covenant, which you and I are both partakers of. Ezekiel 36 and verse 24. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of the countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. Remember the foot washing ceremony of Passover, which renews our baptism, being washed clean of our sins. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Because we're still human. We still put things in front of ourselves and before God. In verse 26, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, that we will be sensitive to him. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. Brethren, this simple lump, this unleavened bread that we've been commanded to eat, it's humble. It will not rise on its own. There's no pride in it, no vanity. It's simple ingredients. But it is our bread in its truest form. Christ has told us that we are to eat of the bread of life, and we will never hunger again. If I were to cook this little lump, not only would I enjoy it and it would feed me for a little while, but I can guarantee in about a half an hour, I'd want some more. This is a physical lesson to teach us the spiritual laws and regulations that God would give us so that we may have life, an eternal life. This is so important that we focus on this purity that we have been given and made into now. As Mr. Jensen was said, annually we are told to throw out the old and have unleavened bread. This is something that Paul had to remind the church in Corinth of when he wrote to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. He says, your glorying is not good. He's correcting them on their pride. They were vain in what they thought was good. He said, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. It's not very flattering, is it? Ladies, how many of you have looked at this and thought, doughy, yes. On your men or on yourselves? Not what we think of. And yet this is the lesson. It's brand new. It's fresh. It hasn't been contaminated. And it's good for us. He says, be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us, so that we could be made new. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Not with old leaven. That's what we're getting rid of. That leaven that's sat inside of us, that has fermented on its own, that has grown that which is not good but is corruptible. We've gotten rid of it. So we don't want to keep it again. Not the leaven of malice and wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. When we look at ourselves and at each other, and we're sincere, and we have the truth of God, we can't help but be changed. And brethren, this is what we are. This week, with the Passover following or leading, we have been purged and sanctified by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, by the Lamb of God. And again, we are to be humble, to be thankful that we might survive and be given sustenance, that this poor man's bread is truly a sign of those who God will make into priests and kings. 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 14, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, this is such a blessing for us. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. As Christ has died for us and now lives inside of us, that's what gives us life. In verse 15, and he, speaking of Christ, died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, one of the things as we look at this humble loaf, this lump, it has potential. It has so much potential from its very simple ingredients and humble beginning. You know, as I mentioned earlier, when I was a kid, we ate a very different kind of bread. Primarily what I grew up on was eating matzos. Occasionally there was a Rye Crisp, which I still really don't want to have in my house. I'm a little traumatized by it. The matzos, at least, as I got older, they came with some different flavors. They had like a onion and stuff like that, which, again, with a lot of butter, was actually quite good. But during that week, of course, I went to regular public school and ate lunches, but there was always bread. And so, especially for that week, I didn't go through the lunch line. I had my sack lunch. And inside it were matzo sandwiches. For those of you who have eaten or tried to eat a matzo sandwich, I think you might agree with me when I say it is a humbling experience. You know, even if it survived the journey to your destination, in reaching up and picking it up and trying to take a bite of it, it tends to just go and fall apart. And so you're picking up pieces, and it gets rather all over us. Crumbs, and usually what we decided was going to be on the inside, also gets all over us. But it's something that is truly to remind us of our humble beginnings and where we are, and there's a reason for it, why we need that annual inspection. To remember that we're not big and fancy and ordained and called because of ourselves, because we're just thankful to have a part of the ingredient. We're not the fruit or the bread of the world. Christ said we are the salt of the earth. You know, it's really just a tiny portion of the salt that goes into the bread. It's very small. But it is required for the bread, and as we think of it, as the bread of life. Ephesians 4 and verse 20. Again, Paul is writing, giving a lesson of the newness which we are given. Ephesians 4 and verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Those are our own carnal desires of putting ourselves first. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. To be fresh again. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God. Again, not ourselves. In true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Sincerity and truth. Be angry and do not sin. That's what corrupts us from the inside. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Because just like the leaven in the bowl, the mixing bowl, overnight it rises. Nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer. Don't be taking from other people, but rather let him labor, do an honest work with his hands and do what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That we don't speak to hear how wise and knowledgeable we ourselves are, but what is the food that we are feeding them? What is the gift of bread, of life that we can share with them? And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. All these things that would corrupt the bread. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Rather, we should do this. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. As He has allowed us to become unleavened, to have unleavened bread, to be a new lump, a new creation, a new man, a new woman. And brethren, that is what God is planning and beginning with the first fruits. But it is a plan which God is going to provide for all of mankind. Someday this world, which has been completely corrupted by the enemy, by Satan, and even just because of our own human carnality, all of the world, in keeping the holy days as they will be reinstituted to all of mankind in His kingdom, are going to someday get to partake of the unleavened bread. The world would normally turn their nose up to unleavened bread. There's a reason why you don't normally see matzos on the shelves. Nobody wants them. Nobody wants to eat that. We don't want plain bread. We want special. And we want not just to have it risen and light and fluffy and doughy, but we want it to last for months and months and months. So we're going to put all this stuff in it. We're going to change it. We're going to strip out all the good stuff, which doesn't even make it bread. It's not real food. Someday, this world, which is truly crying out for the bread of life but doesn't know it, will have it revealed to them. And they will see the beauty of it, the simplicity of it, the goodness which comes from God's feast of unleavened bread. Just in case you thought that I was done with an empty, cleaned and sanitized jar, a vessel, if you will, pure and clean flour. Water. Clean, pure. You know what this is? It's a fresh start. This is what you do to make leavening. It's simple. It's almost the beginning of unleavened bread. But instead, you take a clean vessel and you add pure water and pure flour. And in doing so, the life which is actually in the wheat, in the flour, begins to grow. This is what the children of Israel were waiting for when they left Egypt. This is what they liked. This is what they longed for, because it did make the bread not just easier to chew and eat and more delicious and light and fluffy and pleasant. But the process which goes into this, because this needs to be brought along over a space of about a week or even two to become a leavening agent. This is what they had to wait for. And brethren, this is life. It starts very, very small. You have to have a microscope to see it. If we leave this out for a day or two, cover it, make sure nothing gets into it that contaminates it, you'll see the life in it. It will grow. It will double in size, and you'll see it working and moving. There'll be bubbles and air that comes from it. This is what the children of Israel did on the day after the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Brethren, this is what we get every year. We have been washed free. We have been sanctified and cleansed, made pure vessels for God to restore His Holy Spirit into, and He's given us life. This is your fresh start, brethren. Just as throughout this week we were reminded that we are humble, unleavened bread, this is our future. Matthew 13 and verse 33. Because primarily, we always think of leaven as just sin. Matthew 13 and verse 33. Another parable He spoke to them. This is Christ. And He says, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till it was all leavened. Now this word, we think of it being hid as sneaky or hiding, but it's not. It just simply means that she took a little leaven after this has reached its full maturity over the course of 3 weeks, having been taken care of and nurtured and grown, that she could take a spoonful of the leaven and place it into a lump like this. And then it wouldn't be flat bread anymore. But rather it would rise and it would grow and become that bread that we all love to sink our teeth into. Christ refers to this as this is like the kingdom of God. Just as this new life, this fresh start, without impurities, without corruption, grows, so will the kingdom of God. It will spread. It takes what is very simple and very humble. It makes it wonderful. It makes it delicious and palatable and desirable. Something else about having a starter like this is it actually breaks down the harder parts of the wheat and make it easier for our bodies to digest it so that we can truly have the strength that comes from it. The process of the starter, of the leavening that grows, is that this takes away even what is bad. There are so many people who understand that those who have gluten intolerance, they can't eat the regular bread that's made. But if they eat it the old way, the process of fermentation as it grows, they can. They can eat the bread that has been leavened. They can eat the bread that was the sourdough starter. And this is what God gives. Brethren, as we look at this, again, not very fancy, but it's a fresh start. Whatever we do with it now, from this day forward, it's up to us. We've remembered that during this feast, where we came from, and we've had to focus on getting rid of everything that's not good, that is wrong in ourselves as the vessel, to get rid of it, to clean it out, to be sanctified. And we each get a fresh start. Isaiah 43 and verse 15. This is prophesied of what will come. Isaiah 43 and verse 15. God declares Himself again so that no one doubts. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord who makes a way in the sea. And He's reminding them of how He brought them out of bondage and out of sin. And a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They all lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinguished and they are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. And now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's what God is doing in each and every one of us. A new thing. A new people for a new Jerusalem. And brethren, the way is laid out in front of us. It's right before us. And the potential is eternal. It's not just to get us through tomorrow or this year, but into eternity. Brethren, this humble little starter, which doesn't appear to be much, again, after we add water to it, we see life emerge. The bubbles will start to grow. This is something that my family has done. You all know and love Dave Cook. I remember him and I talking about this 5-6 years ago, and he's like, oh yeah. And he started the process, and he showed our girls, and they were like, wow, let's do that too. And so we had this scientific experiment going on in our kitchen. And it's amazing to watch it grow and to see the life that's in it. It's amazing because, again, this is like the kingdom of God. And as you feed this and care for it, it doubles and grows. And the life in it spreads from just this vessel to whatever you place it in. It continues to grow. Brethren, that's the Great Commission. That we are to go into the world and make disciples. That as your life touches the lives of others, they see the life of Christ in you. And then they're changed by it. And the life of Christ grows in them as they turn and as they seek Him. And they're given the opportunity to throw out what is old and to also be made new. Brethren, a starter like this can survive for many years. But it has to be given the opportunity to mature. I was studying about leavening, and I found a King Arthur Baking Company. They're famous for making King Arthur flour. And they had an article by Barb Alpern. And she said it takes 6 to 10 days to create a healthy and mature sourdough starter. 6 to 10 days. Can you imagine waiting that long for bread? You know, you want a sandwich, and it's like, well, we've got stories that we tell our books that we read to our children about. I'd like a pancake. And his mom goes, great, go out and harvest the wheat. And he has to go through the whole process, you know, before he can have his pancake at the end. It takes time. We do this from scratch. And in doing so, we have to pay more attention. Because as Barb Alpern says, this that has life in it can also have death threats against it. A fledgling starter has not yet had the time to develop the defenses that characterize a mature starter. But once your starter is fully developed and mature, she says it becomes pretty hard to kill. It must be fed daily. It's funny because I see this not only in an article about the lessons of starting a fresh start of bread, but in the Word of God. For us, that means that we must seek God while He may yet be found. Our daily bread, the bread of life. We have to put on the whole armor of God continually. We pray, we feed on the Word of God, we fast, we stay humble. Now, Barb Alpern says that there are a few things that will kill our fresh start. The first thing is heat. It's interesting because it's got to be a warm environment, not hot, but warm. In the same way that newborn babies come out and they're cold, suddenly thrust into the world, and they need to be wrapped up in that blanket or placed upon their mother so that they can have her warmth again. This brand new life needs protection. It needs warmth. As we grow, all of us have stress applied to ourselves. We have heat. There's the heat of this world that we are walking through. However, too much heat will kill the life that is in the fresh start. Kind of reminds me of the old adage about not playing with fire. Do you think we could kill the life within us if we are playing with fire spiritually in the world? There's enough heat in the world already, brethren, that we don't have to go testing it or looking for it to prove to ourselves. It's there. But we need to protect the life that we've been given, this fresh start, this do-over. Now, the second thing that Barbara Alpern says will kill a fresh start is simply neglect. If we neglect this fresh start long enough, if we don't care for it, if we don't protect it, if we don't feed it, if we don't remove the portion of it that needs to be removed so it can continue to thrive and grow, then it'll stagnate. If we're not stirring in daily fresh flour for it to grow on, to sustain it, it will die. And then what happens is a different life begins to grow in it. Something which is not good, but rather bacteria. And that is what she called a bad bacteria that will corrupt the life of the fresh start. Brethren, do you see the spiritual implications and why we've been given this wonderful lesson? Brethren, what are we going to add to it? We've taken out all the corruptible things. We've been cleansed and sanitized just like canning jars. What we do now is again up to us. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. How are we going to go forward towards God's kingdom in the coming year? Second Peter 1 and verse 3. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life. Again, this fresh start, it's about having His life in us and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Again, not our own, but His. By which we has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. That potential that we have to be more than just a lump of unleavened bread. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's simply just our own desires having control of us. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Remember, you can't have a fresh start and neglect it. You can't go, oh, all right, I'm done. I'm going to take this home, put it on my counter, and in the next couple of days, I'll start to see it. And that'd be cool, but then never do anything with it again. Give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. These are the ingredients that can be added to make something wonderful. More than just poor man's bread. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. It's so easy to forget. It's so easy to forget the leaven that's there on our jar because we're not baking every day. We're not producing. And so it just sits and goes stagnant. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brethren, each one of you have been through trials this last year. You know, we were on lockdown a year ago. We weren't even allowed to be together. I stood in front of a camera and spoke to you. All of you have gone through personal trials and problems, afflictions, pain and suffering, anxiety and fear. Each of us has had to endure and overcome. Not only those trials and afflictions, but mostly ourselves. Our own desires, our own lusts, that which are not of God. But God has redeemed you. Each and every one of you have been given a fresh start. We'll call it a do-over. It's a new year, a new you. Brethren, let's decide to keep going forward through the wilderness that lies before us, continually renewing ourselves and helping, by the way, to renew one another. Because, brethren, we're not here to just feed ourselves. And because everyone needs a fresh start.